We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome into the Kia Studios. But we're off to a rousing start. Woohoo! There we go. A little music to get us going. See, Jahi goes and has a baby. Jarvis not in tonight. Chukri here with you. Jarvis goes and has a Jarvis off tonight. Jahi goes out and has a baby. Forgets everything that goes on around here. All new equipment. That's what happens when we got the, you know, we got the other guys coming in to fill in. See? Okay. All right. We're with you here till 11 o'clock on a Friday from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Streaming online. If you go to 929thegame.com, you can listen to us live, catch replays of all the shows, all of our interviews, our best moments. It's all there. Your breaking sports news, our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app to your phone, your tablet, whatever device that you got, a boombox, turntable, Blu-ray, Laserdisc, whatever you got out there. Download it so you can catch us on the go. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the different platforms there available to you. Always the best way if you want to interact on this show. That would be through my Twitter. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. All your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance there. Busy show for you tonight. Obviously, lots of breaking news that came in yesterday. We were off yesterday, but we got lots of breaking news. Rick Bucher is going to join us, a Radio.com Sports Insider. Covers the NBA, also for Bleacher Report. He's going to join us at 8:20. Had a chance to talk to him as we get ready for Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight, 9 o'clock. We'll keep up with all that. Paul Crane is in. Paul Crane, woo! He's in the house tonight, so he'll keep you up to date with all that. Braves, of course, in action as well. About 5 minutes from now, first pitch, Mike Soroka on the mound, who needs a good bounce-back performance, but it is against the Marlins and Jose Urena. So, interesting pitching matchup there. And, of course, Ronald Acuna leading off. Hopefully there's no shenanigans, as Mike Bell would say, tonight in all of that. So busy night for you here, and lots to keep you up to date with. Before I get into what I want to talk about, let me say, too, you know, as everybody knows, I'm a big wrestling guy. And I didn't see all of the show because when I was driving down, I missed some of the matches. I missed Kofi, and I don't know what else I missed. But, boy, that WWE Super Showdown pay-per-view, yeah, that – you know, the last one they did over there, the Crown Jewel or whatever it was, that was a dreadful show. This was a dreadful show as well. And I get why they go over there. It's money. That's it. I mean, Vince is getting, you know, $100 million, maybe more. He's getting a boatload of cash. That's why they're putting The Undertaker and Goldberg over there, is because they love the attraction over there. You know, they're not used to seeing those guys up close and personal and live. So they love the attraction. Anytime you get, you know, overseas with some of these, they love the attraction part of it. They don't get to see Undertaker. They haven't seen Goldberg. You know, hell, I used to run into Bill Goldberg at his gym in Sandy Springs, you know, or what have you. I mean, so it's, you know, for in America, it's not necessarily a big deal to see Goldberg and all that. But over there in person, it is a big deal to see those guys. But at some point, man, these guys have got to give it. These old guys got to give it up. I mean, these old guys, if the Goldbergs and the Undertakers and the Shawn Michaels and the Canes, they got to give it up, man. It's a young man's game. I mean, there's coming a point where it's not even entertaining to watch them go out there and perform. Like I said, I understand why. I understand the money aspect. I get all of that. It's just not an entertaining show. I mean, the last two that they've done have not been good shows. So it is on WWE Network. I was watching it live. I was thoroughly unimpressed. I didn't see Kofi's match, but the stuff that I did see, I mean, even Seth Rollins' match, I mean, the ending part with Brock Lesnar was cool. His match with Baron Corbin wasn't that good either. Hard for Seth Rollins to not have a really good match. He didn't have a good match. I mean, that none of that was good. The ending part was good, not the finish of his match, but the ending part when Brock Lesnar was coming around, that was all good, but Rest of it just, not so good. And by the way, you know, they were supposed to have Alexa Bliss and Natalya wrestle one another. You know, like Saudi Arabia canceled that and wouldn't let them wrestle. Supposedly the only reason that Renee Young, who's a female, was on commentary is because they basically lied and said that Ric Flair was supposed to do it, but he was, you know, he was, what'd they say? He had like jaw surgery or something like that. They had some kind of excuse, but that's at least what the, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, the rumor and innuendo is with all of that. So I don't know. It was a dreadful pay-per-view. You know, they're going to do one in a few weeks, another one coming up, but not in Saudi Arabia, but the next regular pay-per-view. You know, they canceled one pay-per-view to do this Saudi Arabia show because of so much money. So I would tell you to go watch it, but if you're doing it, it's because you just want to see the finish of a couple of matches because it's not worth sitting through the whole thing. So anyway, into the real world of sports and not the scripted world. But, of course, the Atlanta Braves made a huge move, and it is a big move because Dallas Keuchel was arguably the top, you know, he and Kimbrel were the top two dogs that were out there. Now, I've made it known, and I've said it for multiple years now, you know, the guy that I still think was more important to the Braves is Craig Kimbrel, is having that guy that fixes the back end of your bullpen because they are starting to figure some things out with their starting rotation. Yeah, Gausman's been bad, but you know, at the same time, you got 12,000 kids down in the minors you could throw up there if you needed to make starts. I mean, so it's not like you don't have the arms ready and available to make starts. You do. Now, I do like the Dallas Keuchel signing. There's not much risk involved in it. It's, you know, whatever, $13 million prorated for the year or what have you. That's fine. I mean, that's not big money. Even with that contract, what's funny is that the Braves are still spending right at or just slightly below what they spent last year. So I know they tell you they put all this money in and yada, yada, yada. Okay. You know, and they made $432 million last year. Their revenues are up like $250 million over the last 2 years. That's how much increase in revenue that they've had, right? I mean, they've had all this stuff going on, but, you know, their payroll is actually lower than it was last year. Now it's basically about the same. I think it's a million and a half below what it was last year, but it's right there at the same pace. So, and I don't think the Braves are done. I don't think that they're finished because I think they'd like to get some middle bullpen help to figure some things out and give them some other options out there. But this was a big piece to get. But I'll still go back to the idea that I think Craig Kimbrel was a more important piece for this team. And Dallas Keuchel now, he's gonna start in Gwinnett tomorrow, I believe, actually. He's going to get a start tomorrow. Probably will make at least three starts, if not four. Three for sure, maybe a fourth one, depending on how things go. He has been throwing and stuff, so we'll see how that goes down in Gwinnett. The anticipation is, you know, maybe about the last week of June is when he may be up. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't rush Dallas Keuchel. Like I said, I don't think that their starting pitching is so bad right now and so off kilter that I don't know that, you know, it's massively important that he gets in there and, you know, that he comes in here and is lights out for this club. You know, I he can come in here and be lights out for five or six innings and, you know, Webb and all these guys and Tomlin and these guys come in and it doesn't really matter, right? You know, the funny thing about Julio Teheran is he had a 0.98 ERA in May and, you know, he only got one win out of it. Now, the Braves were 4-1 in his starts, but Teheran himself only got one win. So that tells you a lot about whether the offense wasn't clicking, the bullpen blew a lead and tied it up. You know, whatever the situation was, out of those five starts that Teheran got with a 0.98 ERA, he was only 1-0. And yeah, I get it. He only makes five innings, you know, a start, but still, you would figure the Braves, you know, they were 4-1 in those games. So there's a lot of factors, but the fact is, you know, there's a lot that can go on after that starting pitching, you know. So he'll get his at least three starts down in the minors, and then they'll kind of probably take it from there. Like I said, me personally, I'm not in any kind of hurry for Dallas Keuchel to jump in to this roster if he's ready by, you know, the All-Star break, you know, coming out of the All-Star break. That's fine. I mean, that's all that you really need at this point is a veteran guy. But I like the move. I mean, it is a good move. You can't argue about the fact that the Braves rotation now is better because, you know, of that move. There's no doubt that he is a definite chip to help out. And now you have to start figuring some things out. You know, you got some time, but, you know, when you get, you know, in a few weeks, then you got to start figuring some things out. So not really anything to have to panic about. Like I said, I mean, I'm curious to see when he does get up here, what he can give you right away. What can he give you as far as innings or what have you? You know, he's a guy that eats up a lot of innings. He led the league in innings last year. Well, I shouldn't say led the league in innings, but pitched over 200 innings last year. He led the league in hits given up last year. So, you know, his walks plus hits divided by innings pitched and all that kind of stuff, his whip, as they like to say in the baseball world, you know, is a little bit high. It's a little bit higher than you might like. He's not an ace of the staff. He's not going to go out there and be your number one. Right now, Mike Soroka is that guy. That's why I think tonight is important for Soroka. You got a bad baseball team in Miami. Go in there and take care of business. Don't mess around with the Marlins. Don't screw around. Let the offense get you a couple of runs, and Freddie's about to change the score already. Assuming that's fair. Yep, it is. Upper deck shot for Freddie. So we're already at 1-0 Braves. So he's going to be pitching with the lead when he gets in. So just go out there tonight. Handle your business. They need a good series. I want to sweep. 2-0. I'm sorry. I forgot that Dansby was on base when he hit that. I want to sweep. You know, they lost the Pittsburgh series, lost the Washington series. 2 out of 3 series against not very good baseball teams. Pittsburgh's not all that good of a baseball team. They're okay. They're about 500. They were below 500 when the Braves got with them. So they took 2 out of 3 from the Braves. But 2 out of 3 you lost there. You lost to the Washington Nationals. You did manage to win the series against Detroit. Now go sweep the Marlins. Yeah, it's getting greedy, but go sweep the Marlins out of all this. All right, when we get back, does adding Dallas Keuchel really fix the Braves' woes? We'll get into that a little bit more when we get back. Chuck, we're here in the Kia Studios on a Friday night with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a Friday with you. Chuck, we're in the house. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact with the show, at JMCH316, the best way if you want to be a part of the show and give your thoughts. So as we're watching the Braves, 2-0 right now, as Mike Soroka just ready to take the mound and get things going for this Braves defense after Freddie Freeman hits a two-run bomb. You know, obviously the Dallas Keuchel signing, the big news for the Braves, and we'll get his start tomorrow in Gwinnett. So, you know, he'll get a chance to start throwing a little bit. He says he's been doing some side sessions and stuff like that, which I'm sure. I mean, you don't wait this long to get signed and not kind of have, you know, have been throwing and things like that. It's not like he's sitting around eating Doritos and has got to get in shape or anything like that, which would still be a pretty good life because he's probably got millions of dollars in the bank. Anyway, but how much does Dallas Keuchel really fix what ails the Braves? You know, Dallas Keuchel's not an ace of a staff. If he had gone back to Houston, he's probably legitimately their number three starter. Now, I don't say that in a bad way because nobody's over Justin Verlander. Hell, Justin Verlander's as good as anybody in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, Justin Verlander's just on his game and having a tremendous season. He's a tremendous pitcher for, you know, a club that has been red, red hot this year. So no shame in that. You know, Verlander 9-2, 2.4 ERA, 110 strikeouts. Probably wouldn't be their number two pitcher. And Cole's record, Gerrit Cole, former Pittsburgh Pirate, his record isn't great. ERA at 3.94, but he's got 116 strikeouts in 77 innings. He's averaging 13.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. You know, he's probably, maybe they're two, but very likely they're number three starter on there. And like I said, I don't say that in a bad way. But right now, you know, you'd have Soroka, Fried, and right now Tehran would be your top three starters. You know, in a best-case scenario, Dallas Keuchel becomes your number three starter, I think. Because I think Fried and Soroka are here to stay. I know they're going to get into some innings issues and, what do we say, load management and things like that. So I get and understand all of that that comes along with it. But I don't think those guys are dropping off, though, from a quality standpoint. I don't think that those guys are going to all of a sudden fade away in the second half of the season. So I think Keuchel comes in and you hope that he can be your number three starter. You hope that he can be a game three starter. Maybe he's a game two starter only because maybe you split the two young guys up. That's what I talked about with Tehran, is maybe if you don't want to pitch two rookies back-to-back in Sorokin, Fried, and you want to split one of those guys up, maybe one of those veterans, Keuchel or Tehran, or, you know, I'd like to say Fulte, but I don't know out there. So, you know, he probably gets, you know, two or three starts in the postseason, depending on how far the Braves get with that. But I don't know what that does to your bullpen. You hope that Soroka, I'm getting all my names mixed up. It's Friday. I'm tired. It's been a rough, long day. So I've got Jahiism right now. So Jahi's spilling over into me. But if you've got Dallas Keuchel, you're hoping that he can eat some innings to where that start that he makes every 5 days doesn't tax your bullpen. Because I think at this point we understand Julio Tehran sort of is what he is. He's a five-inning starter. Yeah, I'd love to tell you he's going to go longer and he's going to get stronger and it's going to turn and this, that, and the other. I'd love to be able to tell you all those things. At this point, I don't believe it. I think you get between 5 and 6 innings at best from Julio Tehran because his pitch count's going to be high even when he's pitching well. He's going to have a high pitch count to go with it. So I don't think he's much more than that. Gausman, you know, he's going to labor through, it seems like, you know, 5, 6 innings. You like to say he's closer to 7 at times, but he's kind of laboring. And again, you don't know how these young guys, from an inning standpoint, I'm not worried about performance, but I am worried about, okay, what's their load management out there? So what you hope for is that Dallas Keuchel can come in here and, if nothing else, consistently get you 6 or 7 innings. You'd love for him to be a guy that maybe 3 out of 5 starts can go 7 innings. You know, could you get 3 out of 5 starts where he gives you 7 innings? Maybe it's not always the best 7 innings. You know, maybe it's 7 innings and 4 runs. But we know with this offense that even, you know, up, down 5-2, 5-1, this is an offense that can come back. It's an offense that scores runs. Now, that's not a good formula, I will tell you. It's not a good formula to sit there and have to try to come back day in, day out, where you're down 3, 4, 5 runs. I get all that. But it is an offense that can put up some runs and it can score. So even if he was a guy who could give you 7 innings and 4 earned runs, you'd take that every day of the week from him. I'm hoping that's what he becomes, and maybe he doesn't, you know, isn't a 5-inning type of pitcher where you're taxing your bullpen. Because at some point, they're going to have to figure out, how do we fix the back end? Because I really believe that's where the rubber is going to meet the road. I mean, if I told you right now that you had a closer, because this is what Craig Kimbrell did, okay? If you had a closer that saved 6 playoff games, would you take that? Would you take 6 saves in the playoffs? Forget what his ERA is. Forget what his strikeouts. Forget his whip. Forget his war. Forget his this. Forget his that. Forget his BAP and his BIP and his BOP and a BOOP and all these things that they throw out there from a metrics. If I told you that Craig Kimbrell saved 6 games, well, that means you know for sure that the Braves have won 6 playoff games. And I can tell you, Dallas Keuchel ain't starting 6 playoff games. Unless they add 3 more rounds of playoffs to Major League Baseball, he's not starting 6 games. That doesn't mean that it's not a good signing. I'm not saying that. But to me, it still doesn't address what is the biggest glaring weakness of this team. And that is, when you're in high leverage in the 8th and 9th, because let me tell you what you're not going to get in the playoffs. You don't get Florida, okay? You don't get the Pirates. You don't get the Nationals or the Mets. That's going to be L.A. That's going to be Milwaukee. And what does that guy do in high leverage? You feel better about your 5 starters, or you feel better about Luke Jackson trying to close things out in the bullpen? Because I think they like Newcomb and Tukey where they're at. See, I've been saying I wouldn't mind seeing Tukey Toussaint get a shot to be a closer. But they obviously like the role, long relief, spot relief. You know, maybe he'll get a start as you know, if the schedule starts to crunch some and you've got extra games and you need that sixth guy to spot start here, spot start there, then maybe that is Tukey. Other than that, I think they like what Newcomb and Tukey do. I believe fully that they love the role that Sean Newcomb's in. Let Newcomb kind of bridge that, you know, he pitches fifth, sixth, seventh inning. You know, he's pitching to bridge to getting to the back end of the bullpen. I think they like him in that role. I don't think that they're going to use him as a closer. I don't. I don't think that's going to. And I don't think they're going to move him back into the starting rotation, because especially now with Keiko, you don't need to. You don't need to. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know what that means for Kevin Gausman. You know, I've heard, well, you know, you can move him to the bullpen. Okay. Can you? I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I will be less surprised if Gausman gets released than if he goes to the bullpen. I'll be more surprised if Gausman is in the bullpen and not released. Because I just don't know that Kevin Gausman in the bullpen, what does he do? You know, for that roster spot, what's his value to the club? Yeah, you're going to eat money and all that kind of stuff. I get all that. I understand. You're going to eat some money. But with all due respect, okay, you ain't eating that much money. It's not like that. And maybe he's a trade piece. I don't know who would want Kevin Gausman at this point. I mean, what's his ERA? I was just looking up his ERA. Right now, his ERA is a 6.15. He's 2-5 with a 6.15 ERA. I mean, I don't imagine he has any trade value other than if some team just wanted an arm to have out there. You know, because he can go through arbitration, you know, next year. So you get one more year of him in arbitration next year. And this year he's $9.35 million. So, you know, depending on if they decided to let him go, maybe they eat a few million bucks out of all of that. To me, that's not a big deal. If he doesn't have enough value on the roster to truly fill a role, then give him his release and hope somebody picks him up and takes on that contract. I mean, takes on some of that money. That's all you can hope for. I don't think you just say, oh, just throw him in the pen. Okay, well, whose spot does he take up? And are you sure that he can perform bringing in the pen? See, I say all the time with these young guys that don't know. You know, the young guys don't know what they don't know. That's why I say to put them in the bullpen. Throw them out there and just let them do their thing. They don't know what they don't know out of all of it. So let them go in the bullpen and do what they got to do with it. Let them go in there and come in this inning and that inning. It's different for Gausman. He's a more established veteran that's had a specific role for his team over the last several years. So I personally, you know, if I had to cut Gausman, because you think Keiko's going to be the guy, okay, then you cut him. And you roll with the five that you got out there. John Chuckery in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is Braves just keep opening it up right now. So Braves is playing, you know, Tattoo You all over Urania. So he won't be around very long in this game at the rate that he's going out there. So, which is good news for the Braves. You know, get out to an early lead. Let Soroka get six or seven innings in. Let him, you know, maybe six innings is probably, you know, my guess is if they've got a pretty good size lead, give him six innings and let your bullpen come in. That won't be in any high leverage situations. It's already 3-0 in this game, and the Braves are still batting, you know, with a couple of guys on. So just, you know, if you can get six good innings out of Soroka, then start filling in your bullpen guys, you know, from there. So, you know, this is one of those series. This needs to be a get-right series for the Braves. This needs to be that get-right type of series. Let's go out. I mean, the last time they played the Marlins, sweep, lots of offense, let's get it going. Okay. You know, and remember, then they went to L.A. right after that, and it didn't go so well. But this time they'll come home. And they'll get the Pirates at home, and then, you know, they'll be getting ready for Philadelphia. So that series will be coming up soon. All right, going to ask the question when we get back, which GM between AA, TD, and Schlenk is going to best set the franchise up for future greatness. We'll talk about all that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, hanging out on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Back at it in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back in. John Chuck, we're here with you going until 11 o'clock. 404-741-0929 is our phone line, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. On Twitter, at JMCH316, all those different platforms. We want to interact with the show tonight. Keeping up with the Braves, up 3-0 right now over the Marlins, as Mike Soroka got a nice little lead to work with here. So keeping you up, Paul Kring, going to keep you up to date with all that. 9 o'clock, we've got NBA action, of course, is game 4 from Golden State. Klay Thompson will play. KD is not. And KD's not playing in this series, folks. I don't. And Steve Kerr was even starting to get a little bit chippy about it. He's not playing. He's not going to play at all in this series. So question I have is, when you look at three of the franchises, and I know everybody's going to get mad because I'm going to exclude Atlanta United, but the reason that I'm excluding Atlanta United is simply because I think they're set up differently from some of the other franchises. And what I mean by that is that they've already won a cup. Arthur's willing to do whatever it takes. You're not under any kinds of salary cap or any kinds of restrictions or any hands tying. Whatever Atlanta United needs, Arthur will give them. And with Carlos Bocanegra and with Darren Eels, they'll go out and get it done. So I think they're set up for long-term success because, their model is going to work very well. But the other three franchises in the Braves and the Falcons and the Hawks, if I look at AA, Alex Anthopoulos, Thomas Dimitrov, and Travis Schlenk, which of those three is going to best set up the franchise for future greatness? Now, we know the Falcons right now are a Super Bowl or bust organization. Has Thomas Dimitrov played a role in that? Absolutely. No question about it. Thomas Dimitrov also had a hand in why it hasn't gone as well for this franchise, though, either. I think Dan Quinn and his influence on the roster and what he wants and some of his player personnel valuation, I think, has really helped Thomas Dimitrov out. And maybe Scott Pioli deserves some of that credit, too. So while I'm going to give Thomas credit for a lot of things, because Matt Ryan is his draft pick, Julio Jones is his draft pick, that has him all over it. But Dan's also had a lot of influence, on the Deion Joneses and the Keanu Neals. I don't think that Thomas Dimitrov would have taken a safety if his coach didn't explicitly want a guy like that and want to be that Seattle type of defense. He fit exactly what this defense wants to do. So when I look at Thomas, I think that's the nick on him, is that, he could very well have been fired when Mike Smith got fired, but I don't think Arthur wanted to clean house at that point. So Thomas stayed. You brought in Dan Quinn, and the rest of they say is history, from there. And rolls along from there. Double A is interesting because, let's face it, I mean, Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, that's nothing about Double A. All these pitching prospects, Soroka and Fried, that's not Double A. Like it or not, that's John Coppolella. That's the philosophy, and that's John Coppolella's influence. Now, yes, there are Double A things that are on here. Dallas Keuchel now, Josh Donaldson. There are things on there, bringing back Brian McCann. But we don't know about the young guys to this point about what he's going to have and what he's going to develop. And I hate to say this, but if Double A isn't here very long, that will tell you all you need to know about Liberty Media and what goes on in Denver out there. Because I think that's the thing that is going to hamper Double A from being able to do some of the things that he wants to do, is how much money can they spend? You can tell me, well, they just spent money on Dallas Keuchel. Yeah, and it still didn't bring their payroll above what it was last year. So there was room to make moves. There was room to do all that. But by and large, they've done things on the cheap. with all due respect, they weren't any kind of player. You can tell me they spent $23 million on Josh Donaldson. One, that was a one-year deal. Two is he's not designed to be here for the long term. Three is he had to spend money on somebody because you'd look ridiculous coming off a 90-win playoff season and saying, yeah, we're not investing in our team. Because he went cheap on Nick Markakis. They haven't invested a whole lot. They've gone cheap on guys like Brian McCann. They've gone cheap on their bullpen. You tell me, well, Darren O'Day. Okay, well, Darren O'Day had never pitched an inning for this franchise. So when he does call me, then we'll talk about what Darren O'Day is. But the moves have been like the Jerry Blevins and stuff of the world because they're afraid to move some of these prospects. And I think part of that is the fact that they won't go out and spend the kind of money that they need to spend. And they're not going to be the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Astros, whatever group is in the top of all the payroll people. They're not going to be in all of that group. So when you have that, well, that's going to hamstring what your GM can do. That's going to hamstring some of the things that your GM is able to pull off is the fact that he can't do maybe all the moves that he would like to do. Would he have maybe liked to have been in the business of some other guys? Probably. But I don't know that he's going to have the financial flexibility, as they love to say, in these parts to be able to do those things. So I would tell you that of those three GMs, I think Travis Schlenk is the guy who is going to best set up this franchise. One is he's got an owner that wants to win an NBA title and has said that on this radio station that he wants to win an NBA title. Not hey, we want to be pretty good. Not, hey, we want to get in the playoffs. Not, hey, we want to do this. He wants to win an NBA title, and he has that kind of dedication. Number two is I think Travis comes from an organization that did it the right way. When you talk about the Blue Jays, let's face it, they went out and were getting Troy Tulowitzki and David Price and guys like that to go for it. They also didn't develop Jose Bautista. That was the Pittsburgh Pirates that developed him. So it wasn't like they were developing all these monster. Josh Donaldson was an Oakland A's prospect, if you remember. That's where he came up through, was the Oakland A's organization. So we haven't seen as much of that. We didn't see it in Toronto. We'll have to see it here. But I think when you look at a guy who's got the blueprint and knows how to go in and put together an organization that wasn't good, that's what he was a part of. Whether he made every decision or didn't make every decision in Golden State is irrelevant. He was there in the room. He was part of all that. Even if he didn't make the decision, he was in the room when those decisions were being made. So I think he's the guy that's going to best set this franchise up. And we're going to talk about the trade when we get to the top of the hour about what may be in play. But I think when you look at Travis Schlenk, you can kind of see that he's trying to play chess and not checkers, right? With the moves that he's trying to make. It's not about getting the 17th draft pick for Torian Prince and then a protected pick next year or whatever. It's not about that. It's about what you're setting up for the next move and how you're getting better. And we've already seen with, Trae Young, who was either going to finish first or second in Rookie of the Year. Kevin Huerter was second team All-NBA rookie team. He knows how to pick guys. Now, what I really hope more than anything is I hope he picked the right coach. It's not a knock against Coach Pierce. I'm just saying I hope he's got the right guy that when this team's ready to win, he's ready to lead that team to the promised land. So I'll take Schlenk, AA, then Thomas Dimitroff. All right, when we get back, one NFL team's already fired their GM. Seems kind of strange at this point of the year, but it's been done. We'll talk about that next. Chuck McKee, Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.